if you'll join me in opening the Bible to Isaiah 40, I'll determine to try to preach the word to you as God enables me. Oh, Isaac Watts, one of the great preachers and great hymn writers, wrote a catechism. And in his catechism, he raised this question. Who is Isaiah? And then he gave the answer. Isaiah is that prophet who spake more of the Lord Jesus Christ than all the rest. And that's certainly true of this scripture we have before us this morning. In Isaiah 40, he says in verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. But over there in Isaiah 45, he said six times, I am God and there's none else. There's none with whom to compare me. I'm God, there's none else, six times. Verse 26, he said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who created these things? Out of nothing, by his word only. Who created all these? Lift up your eyes and look. Who created these things? Bringeth out their host by number. He calls them all by name. Even the stars, each one, have a name. And he does that by the greatness of his might. He's strong in power. Not one purpose faileth. And then he speaks to his people. He speaks to us. He speaks to those who believe. He calls them, O Jacob. We're called the sons of Jacob throughout the Old Testament. Seed of Abraham, sons of Jacob. I told my class this morning, two or three reasons why we're called sons of Jacob. One reason, like Jacob, we were loved by God before we were born. The children being not yet born, it was said to the mother, Jacob have a love. We were elected by God to life eternal before we had any being. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said to her, the elder, contrary to human ways, shall serve the younger. The younger has the inheritance. We were loved. We were chosen to the inheritance before we were born. And like Jacob, God, in an unusual fashion, when we weren't seeking him, Jacob was running from something, not running to God. He was running from Esau through fear. And God met him, like he did Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. God met him. Like he did the Samaritan woman, God met him. Like he did you one day, God met him. And God revealed the salvation and redemption in Christ to him by giving him a vision of the ladder to heaven, the way to heaven. And on that ladder, the angels of God ascending and descending. And Jacob awoke from that vision and said, this is Bethel. This is the true house of God. I've seen the Lord face to face. And every time we're sons of Jacob, not only because God loved us and chose us and revealed the gospel to us, but he keeps bringing us back to himself and to Christ. Every day when we venture or stray, he brings us back. He said, Jacob, back to Bethel. And he always will. And he changed our name. He changed our name, made us sons of God, kings and priests. So he speaks to his people here in verse 27, and he says, why do you say, O people, O Jacob, and you speak, O Israel, prince of God, my way is hid from the Lord. Why do you say that? What were they saying? They were saying this: my way, the way of life, God doesn't seem to pay any attention to it. Evidently, he takes no notice of my troubles and my trials and my suffering. Evidently, God pays no attention to all these things because he hasn't delivered me. There seems to be no relief from trouble and no relief from trial. And my way is difficult, and it just seems like the Lord not paying any attention to it. And then he said, why do you say that? And secondly, why do you say my judgment is passed over from the Lord? Why do you say God evidently is not interested in setting things right? He does not undertake my cause. He does not right the wrongs that are done to me. It just seems like that there's no justice. That's what David said in Psalm 73. I'm suffering and the wicked are prospering. There ain't no justice. That's what he said. Now, why do you say that? That's what he asked. Why sayest thou, my way, the Lord's not paying any attention to it. He's not looking. He doesn't know how difficult the way is. And he doesn't do anything about my struggles and troubles. He doesn't justify me. He doesn't vindicate me. He doesn't set things straight before my enemies. Verse 28, hast thou not, the answer comes from the Lord now. Listen, have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, fainteth not, nor is weary, there's no searching of his understanding. Don't you know that, haven't you? Haven't you heard that? Haven't we heard from the scriptures who he is? Haven't we heard from the fathers, from the experiences of the prophets and the apostles, that he is indeed the everlasting God? Haven't you? Don't you know that? Haven't you heard that? I've heard that. I've heard that lots of times. And I know that. He's the everlasting God. He's the creator of the heaven and earth, the ends of the earth. He made all things. Not only did he make all things, he upholds all things. And there's not a sparrow falls to the ground without him. The hairs of your head are numbered. I know that. He's created all things, and he made all things, and he upholds all things. And I know this. He's the everlasting God. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that. And he doesn't faint. He doesn't quit. He that hath begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, though he stumble, he'll be held up. I know those things. Then why'd you say that? Why'd you think it? The Lord doesn't faint. The Lord doesn't quit. The Lord doesn't grow weary. He knows his sheep, whomsoever they are, and whithersoever they go. David said, where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, thou art there. If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, you're there. I know that. Don't you know that? And you heard that? 1,000 times. I know. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. And look at the last line of verse 28. There's no searching of his understanding. What's that saying? His wisdom and his purpose cannot be discovered by searching. A finite mind cannot comprehend the wisdom and purpose of an infinite God. It can't be. That's what Job told us over here in Job 11. His understanding, there's no searching, there's no knowledge by a finite mind of his understanding and his judgment. In Job 11, verse 7, Job said this, Can you, by searching, find out God? Job 11:7. Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? It's high as the heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? Paul said that too. Let me just read it to you over here. Right here, I've got it. Romans 11. Listen. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his providence, his ways are past finding out. Do you know that, don't you? I know that. And here's the next thing I know, verse 29. He gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint, to the weak and to the weary. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You know, my friends, all life, power, strength, ability to do anything or think anything is of the Lord. Read that verse again. He gives power to the faint, to them that have no might in themselves. He increaseth strength. In him we live and move. I just made that gesture. By whose power? It's left up to me. I couldn't move that arm. I tell you, all of his creation and his creatures derive whatever strength, knowledge, life, movement, or power they have from him. From the shining of the sun to the blinking of the eyelash and eyelid is by the grace of God. By the power of God. All powers of God. And well, why'd you say that a while ago about God's deserted me? He doesn't know what's happening. He hasn't vindicated me. Why'd you say that? Dumb. That's why I said it. Just dumb. Got up this morning and went in, ate a nice breakfast that he provided. Walked into the kitchen by his grace. He didn't have to wheel me in there. I walked in there. Sat down and said, this coffee sure is good. Oh, don't you despise yourself when you murmur against God. Why'd you do that? He gives power. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall without him. You know, we attribute strength and ability to youth and to healthy people and to young people. But you know, left to themselves, even the youngest and the strongest shall utterly fall. Their strength and knowledge and ability for the power of God. I want to give you an assignment. Turn with me to Job 38. Job 38. I tell you, if you'll just read today or tomorrow, soon now, while you still have it on your mind, Job 38, 39, and 40, and 41. Just those four chapters, 38, 39, 40, and 41. But let's read some of them right now about the power of God, the particular distinguishing knowledge and power of God. Verse 1, chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. He said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, I will demand of thee, and you answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if you have any understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if you know? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors, and I said to the seas and to the oceans, hitherto shalt thou come and no farther. And here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since the days? Have you caused the dawn to know its place? Go to verse 34. Verse 34, chapter 38. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that the abundance of rain may cover you? Can you send lightning that they may go and say to thee, here we are? Did you go out and watch the lightning the other night? I think of that verse every time I go out and watch that lightning. The Lord says, he sends them, and they all speak to him. Here we are. Here we go. You pray the lightning? Don't they? It's in his hands. But if it hits you, you're going home. That'd be a blessing. It's a good way to go home, too. That's a quick journey. Verse 36, who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Who's given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who can stay the bottles of heaven and make it not rain when the dust grows into hardness and the clods cleave fast together? Will you hunt the prey for the lion? Will you fill the appetites of the young lions? You're going to feed all these insects and animals and beasts. God feeds them. When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait, who provides food for the raven? When his young ones cry to God, they wander for lack of meat. Let's read one more. Turn to verse chapter 39. I just love these three chapters. Turn to chapter 39, verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings to the peacocks, or wings and feathers to the ostrich, which leaves her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust? She forgets that the foot might crush them, the wild beast might break them, but she's hardened against her young ones. She doesn't. The hen takes care of her eggs, but the ostrich doesn't. She's hardened against these young, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom. Neither hath he imparted to her understanding. That's just an area where he did not give her that protective instinct like he did other birds. But I tell you what he did, though. She can fly higher and swifter than a man on a horse. Look at the next verse. What time she lifted up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and the rider. She'd pass them by. God gave her that gift. Hast thou given the horse his strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glorious nostrils is terrible. Now watch this. He paweth in the valley, rejoiceth in his strength. This is the horse. He goes on to meet armed men. Have you ever watched these, read stories and read about horses and Civil War and other, charging right into cannon's mouth? Charging right into other forces with their swords drawn and spears and guns. He just keeps on going. And that's what he says here. In verse 21, the horse paws in the valley, rejoices in his strength, goes out to meet armed men. He mocketh at fear. He's not afraid, neither turneth back from the sword, from the cannon. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield, and he swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it's the sound of a trumpet, marking his doom. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder, the captains, and the shouting. Let me ask you this. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom? Stretch her wings towards us out. Does the eagle mount up at your command and make her nest on high? She dwells and abideth on the rocks, from the crag of the rock, the strong place. From thence she seeketh her prey. She can spot them a mile away. Who gave her those eyes? God. Just read those. Please read them. 38, 39, 40, 41. He giveth power, life, movement to everything. Now watch this. But they that wait upon the Lord, know this. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who are these people? They believe God. I'm one of them. You're among those that believe God. They wait upon the Lord. They believe him. They believe all that he said about himself and all that he declares in his word. They believe him. And they know he's the only God, the only Redeemer, the only salvation, the only way of life. They know that. You see, our Lord settled this with his disciples in John chapter 6. He just settled this. We used to sing an old song when I was growing up. The old account was settled long ago. Well, it's settled long ago. Who he is and who I am and who Christ is, that's settled. And here's how he settled it with his disciples. Our Lord was preaching, and there were about, according to the record, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. He fed them, and he was preaching to them. And he offended them. They were offended. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And you know something? Even after him feeding them, the Lord God himself speaking to them, they ever one got up and walked off. That's the record. And all of them went back and walked no more with him. Left him. Then he turned to the 12. And he said, will you also go away? You can if you will. You can if you want to. Will you? And Peter, speaking for all of them, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? It's settled. To whom shall we go? There's nothing anywhere. In religion, in the social world, in the intellectual world, anywhere, there's nothing. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The word and the eternal life is in you. And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we'll just wait on you. That's settled. Now here's the promise. Listen to this. David, wait upon the Lord. Number one, they shall renew their strength. No matter how low it gets, they're going to renew it. That's right. What kind of strength is this? Spiritual strength. Paul kept saying, when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I recognize I can't do anything myself, it's all by his grace. When I realize that, that causes me not to trust myself, but to trust him, and then I'm strong. And so through his good providence, and through the word of God which he has given me, and you, and the Spirit of God who dwells within us, and the word of instructions, and the preaching of the gospel, as we wait upon him and look to him, our grace and faith and love and hope is renewed. Now you can't renew what you don't have. It didn't say it's new, it's renewed. He's already got that grace and that faith and that love. So if we wait on him patiently, lovingly, willingly, trusting, the strength will be renewed. And then secondly, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Which direction does an eagle go? He goes up, 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 up. Fly higher than any bird. Isn't that right? Higher than any bird. His aim and direction is toward heaven. And that's those that wait upon the Lord. They renew their strength and they mount up. Set their affections on things above, not on things of the eagle doesn't wallow around here in the things of this world. He's interested in higher things. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. They that wait on the Lord. The Lord God, who's the everlasting God, who has all power and all might, never faints, never grows weary, wait on him, and you'll mount up as an eagle. One of the old writers put that in a hymn. Listen to it. From whence do our mournful thoughts arise? Where has our courage fled? Have doubts and fears and earthly trials struck all our comforts dead? Have we forgot his almighty name that formed the earth and sea? Can his all-creating arm ever grow weary or decay? Our mere mortal powers shall fade and die, and our youthful strength shall cease. But if we are made to wait upon the Lord, we'll feel our strength increase. And his saints shall mount on eagle's wings and taste the promised bliss until their redeemed souls arrive where perfect pleasure is. In verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. They'll mount up to heaven with wings as eagles, and they'll run, and they'll not be weary. Paul said, run with patience the race that sets before us. Run it with patience, neither looking back or looking around. And they'll run this race and not be weary. They'll not be weary of the race. They'll not be weary of the company with whom they run. And they'll not be weary of the course, because the Father laid it out. If we wait on him, we'll run with patience the race set before us. We'll not grow weary of the race, nor of the company with which we run that race, nor of the course set before us, because it's by his orders. And we'll walk and not faint. What's this walk? Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. It's a long walk. It's a lifetime walk. It's a walk of years and days and months, trials and tribulations. It's a walk. That's a man's journey, is his walk. But we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit. A lot of folks do, but not those that wait on the Lord. Not those who know that to whom shall we go. Not those who know this God who reveals himself in verse 28. I'm the everlasting God. They're not going to quit. John said, when they quit, it's evidence they never did walk with us. All right, let me show you this, and I'll dismiss you. Now, he speaks to the whole earth here, I believe. Keep silence before me now, O islands. Keep silence. Remember before whom you stand. Let's don't raise our voices against him. Remember before whom you stand. The Lord's in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. I keep silence before me. And let the people renew their strength. Let them renew their opposition. There's going to be people who oppose this. Lots of them. But let them come near. Let them muster up their courage and forces and collect their arguments. And let them come near. Let them speak. Let them speak. Let them come near together for judgment. That's all right. Assemble yourselves. Listen to what he said over here in Isaiah 40, 45. He said, assemble yourselves, draw near together. You that are escaped of the nations that have no knowledge of God, that set up wood of graven images, that pray to a God that cannot save. Come on, present your arguments. But here's the answer, verse 2. Who raised up this righteous man from the east? This righteous man from the east. Who raised him up from the east? Now, a lot of folks, a lot of readers, I read different ones, and they wanted to apply that to Abraham. He was a man in the east. And he kind of reads like Abraham. He raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to obedience, gave the nations before him, made him rule over kings. He went to battle against the kings. That's right. He led a force of people against the wicked kings and defeated every one of them. He gave them the dust of his sword, the driven stubble of his bow. He pursued them. Remember when Abraham pursued the kings and to get Lot and all the people back again? He whipped the life out of them, didn't lose a man. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way he had not gone. Never been to that place before. But he led that bunch of men down there and whipped them all and came back home. But now this man from the east is not Abraham. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me show you over here in Isaiah. I believe it's chapter, Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. I believe it's, yeah, that's F46. Verse 9, remember the former things of old. I'm God, there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I'll do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird. A bird from the east, a bird. A man, the man that executes my counsel, I called him. He's called a bird because he came from heaven. He's called a ravenous bird for his fierceness and victory over his enemies. And he's called a man because only by a perfect man can God's counsels all be fulfilled and all performed and all done. Now go back to my text, Isaiah 41:2. Who raised up this, what man? Righteous man. The man of righteousness. He said in Jeremiah 23, he'll be called the righteousness of God. I raised him up. Called him to obedience, to his foot, walked in my way. Gave the nations before him, out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, or nation, I gave him a people. Made him rule over kings. Gave them as the dust to his sword, sword of the Lord. Out of his mouth goeth a two-edged sword, as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had gone, not gone with his feet. Never walked that way before. We did, the way of sin and death and judgment. But he walked that way and came back victorious. Now look at that next verse. Who did all this? Who wrought this? Who did this? Called the generations from the beginning. I want you to see something here. I've got a little more time. Listen, generations. This is the thing about studying, if you will. Look at words. Word of the Lord. Who hath wrought? Who hath conceived this and purposed it and determined it and brought it to pass and conquered it? Who did all this? Who done this? Who called the generations from the beginning? What does generations mean? It means these following things. Number one, who has determined the circle and the revolution of time? Generations of time. 40 years. Who has determined all of that from the beginning? Secondly, who had determined man's days and the number of his months so he cannot pass from the beginning? Who hath appointed the boundaries of nations? Now, who hath wrought this and called the generations, every generation, all the generations from the beginning? Who hath appointed the boundaries of nations, the destinies of nations, the leaders of nations? He raiseth up kings, the heart of the kings in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he will. He did that from the beginning. Who hath, with a high and heavenly and holy calling, picked out a people, a generation of believers from the beginning? Here comes the answer. I, the Lord, the first and the last, I'm here. I'm your shepherd, O Jacob. I'm your God. I'm your Father. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Savior. I'm your life. So don't doubt me. Don't question me. And don't leave me. Just wait on me. Just wait on me. That's right. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, we'll pick that up tonight, the Lord willing, and thank the Lord for revealing the Word to us. That's His Word. That's comforting. That's convicting. That's edifying. That's peaceful. That's restful. That's His Word.